Sven, of course, went to be with the Lord, and I think Mom is doing well, and we appreciate hearing that. But when Sven went to be with the Lord, our organization entrusted their ministry to Europe and Pakistan and to other parts of the world into the hands of his son, Lucas. And so we are proud to have them as Grace International missionaries to the many places they minister. They are our speakers this week at the Minister's Retreat in Cannon Beach that we have every year. And so we're looking forward to him ministering to the pastors as well. But since they were in the area, we wanted them to come and speak to you this morning. So would you give Lucas and his family a warm welcome this morning, please?
Good morning, everybody. What an honor it is to be here at Landmark Church in the most beautiful place in the world. I'm telling you, if I had mountains like this, wow. It was beautiful, the drive coming in and everything. And what an honor it is to be with you this morning. I want to introduce my family to you, my wife, Tara. And I'm going to ask her to stand. This is my wife, Tara. My oldest daughter, Scarlett, and my youngest daughter, Isabella. They're a little bit shy this morning. Give them about 5 minutes and they won't be. Well, I tell you what, it's really a privilege to be here this morning on many things. One, it's an honor to be a part of the Grace International family. We are so proud to be a part of such a great organization. And also, it's personally, this is a big deal for me this morning because I'm standing in a place that my father stood. I'm a third-generation preacher. My grandfather ministered on my mother's side in Sweden, my dad for 52 years, and this year in January, I celebrated my 23rd year of ministry full-time. Amen. My mother sends her greetings to you. She was so excited to hear that we were going to be with y'all. And I want to share something from as you know, my dad passed on about a little over a year ago. But the last couple years of his life, you guys in particular, this church, your pastor here, were really joy in his heart and in his life. And he would often speak of you. And I want to just say thank you to you as a church for meaning so much to my parents. You really were deep inside of their hearts. So thank you for that, congregation. I very much appreciate that. Well, this morning, I want to share a little bit about the ministry, share a little bit about what's going on. As I said, I've been in ministry this year for 23 years. I've pastored for many years, and now I travel full-time and work with churches. When I began to take over the ministry and merged my ministry with my father's ministry about 6 years ago, we had about 37 churches in Europe and in Pakistan, and we've expanded that. And this, in fact, just this last Sunday, we opened our 127th church. God has been doing some amazing, amazing things. We have churches in England and in Luxembourg, and then we also have churches in Pakistan, and I'm going to share quite a bit about that this morning. We also have churches in Western Africa, up in Nigeria and Ghana, and then in Eastern Africa, down in Uganda, in Kenya, Tanzania, and Rwanda. And so God has really blessed things, and we, this year, we're hoping to open a church in Dubai. So we're really trying to set that as a headquarter space over there, because that is really central to all the churches that we have. And then we're aiming to be in Berlin next year and to open a church there, because we believe that that's a strategic place in Europe. How many know that Europe needs God? How many know that everywhere needs God? You know, the reality is there's 8 billion people, almost 8 billion on planet Earth. Did you know that 3.4 billion have never even been presented with the gospel? And the interesting statistic is we say about 1.7 billion are evangelical or Catholics. So that's about 2 out of the 8. But we've all been in church for a long time. We know that just because you come to church doesn't mean you're So literally right now, a little over 6 out of 8 people are going to hell. I tell you what, we have a big work to do. Amen. But you know what? We're going to do it. Amen. Well, if you follow along with the screens this morning, we're going to share a little bit about some of the things from the trips. I'm going to start off in Africa. Go ahead on to the next one here. As I said earlier, we have churches in Rwanda, Uganda, Kenya, Republic of Congo, Tanzania, Nigeria, Ghana, and Togo. This is a little bit everywhere from West Africa, which is war-torn, to East Africa, which is very impoverished. In fact, I'll be in East Africa here in just May, and I'll be there for about 5 weeks ministering in crusades. But the picture to the left here, the Lord opened the door when I came to Uganda. This is about 1.5 years ago. That's where this picture is taken. I was speaking on the radio, and there was just a coup in the government, and there was a thing that went on in the city. And so I was preaching on the radio. When I walked outside, CNN Africa was there. And they interviewed me on CNN Africa. How many know that CNN is not exactly the most friendly to the gospel? So it was great. They come and they say, well, what do you think about this? And the Lord just said, go for it, preach. So they gave me 30 minutes to preach on CNN Africa. Is that just cool or what? You know, God just opens unique doors. Over on the right-hand side of the picture, I'm ministering up in a village in the Congo, in a mountainous region. Over 90% of Congo has never even been developed. It's still forest and everything. And I'm up in a village. I was the first white person to ever go to that village. They thought that I was a ghost. They didn't believe I was real. They were touching me. It was very weird. And so I got to pray for people, and it was really neat in the service that as we started the crusade, and we set up a wood structure and just start preaching. And the whole village comes out, and as I'm preaching, the Lord gives me a word of knowledge. And I give a prophetic word, and I say, hey, listen, there's 2 business owners. You're here today, and this is what happened. You had an argument today, and you're really holding up the finances of what's going on. And I said a few more things. And as I'm saying that, one man just begins to just start running for just taking off. And then the other person begins to walk up forward, comes up front, grabs the mic from me, and begins to repent publicly in front of the whole village. I mean, this is just a divine moment. As they're repenting and everything, then turns around and says, I would like to receive Jesus. So I lead them to the Lord. Then he runs off and chases after the other person, brings the other person back, and then publicly apologizes to that person. I mean, this is just real. This is, I mean, better than preaching. Just apologizes to the person, then says, you need Jesus. This is great. Then says, now pray the prayer. And then he turns to me and says, what's the prayer again? So I'm helping the person lead that person to the Lord. And then this person accepts the Lord. And then that person says, now all of you need Jesus. And literally the whole village comes to the Lord. I mean, that's God. That's divine appointments right there. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Okay, we'll start with the right. This was in the next village that I was at when I just came back over into Uganda. If you see the man lifting his hand, he has tape around his hand. He stops me in the middle of the service, and he said, okay, we've heard enough. If your God's real, then prove it. I said, okay. And I said, what do you want? And he said, well, I have this on my hand. So he unwraps his hand to me, and he has a cancerous tumor on his hand. And he said, if God's real, then prove it. I said, okay. So I said, I'm going to pray for you. And he's like, okay. So I said, now you stand there, I'm going to stand there. And he's like, okay. So I said, God, thanks for healing him. Amen. That's it. As I'm saying this, the thing falls off in front of everybody. This is cool. I mean, you can't even orchestrate this up. Falls off in front of everybody, and then he goes, okay, God's real. Your God is real. And I said, would you like to receive him? He said, yes. So I lead him in the Lord's Prayer, and then he grabs the microphone, and then he led his village to the Lord. Is this awesome or what? I tell you what, God is so real. This woman on the left side that I'm standing with on my first trip over there, she was in a service, and just a prophetic word came over me. And I said to her, ma'am, this is what the Lord says to me. God says that your husband is going to return. He's not only going to return, but he's going to repent, and he's going to get right with God, and God is going to give you a child. She stands up and said, well, first of all, my husband has left me for another woman. And second of all, I've had a hysterectomy, so that's impossible. I said, look what God can do. When I come back on the second journey to Africa where I was, she comes back. She had just had a baby. Come on. Just had a baby. Then 2 weeks after I had spoken, her husband walks into church, interrupts the service, and says, I need to say something. He publicly repents to his wife in the service, publicly repents to the church. He became the associate pastor just a couple months later, and just about 4 months ago, we planted them in a church. Is that not just amazing? God is absolutely wonderful. Go ahead to the next one, please. All right, this is a video clip. We'll see if we can see this. This is...
Give them a hand. From way back there, people are still coming. We're waiting for you tonight. This is the most important decision of your whole life. Come. Come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This is in another village, and literally people were surrounding us from all over, and it had come into the nighttime. And that night we saw so many people just come up to the Lord. I mean, isn't God awesome? We love that. Let's go ahead to the next one and go ahead and play this video.
What are you asking God for?
Yeah, I have problem in my chest. Every time when I become pregnant, I feel pain in the chest. That is the problem I have.
Okay.
And the child is sick.
And the child is sick.
Can I?
Lepra.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift this child to you right now. I'm asking that you touch this child
too,
and that this child grows up strong for you. Father, touch this child in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Father, I thank you for healing the pain of the mother's heart right now in Jesus' name.
I want to share a little bit into this story. So the mother comes, she has chest pains, and her son that is there, the doctor had told her that day that the child would be dead within the week. When you're in Rwanda, which is a very devastated country, it's almost 1 out of 3 children die because of stomach issues. This is what the child had. She came back later in the crusade. She had gone back to the doctor. First of all, her chest pain was gone. And the second is they couldn't find anything wrong with her child. And God did just a powerful, powerful miracle. Go ahead on to the next slide. Some of you, we'll start with the picture on the left. How many have heard of UNICEF and those kind of things? Okay, so a lot of them, they'll take containers and you guys donate clothes and shoes and everything and send it over. The reality is when those come into the countries in Africa, the port cities, they have people that come and purchase them, and then they turn and sell them on the street. So a lot of those things that go with the cargo ships actually never get given to any child. So I want to challenge you, if you want to do something in Africa, do not do it that way. Because this literally, I found Air Jordans out there that they were selling for $40 on the street. It was all kinds of crazy stuff. On the right-hand side, you'll see this this butcher here. He had a lot of fun. So we're preaching a crusade, and the village wanted to thank us for being out there. So, and this is true gospel story. So we had a little car, like think like a small Ford Fiesta, like a Scion, something like that. And there's like six of us crammed in there. So the village wanted to thank us that night, so they gave us two chickens and a goat. So there's six of us, two chickens and a goat in the car on the way home. You do not want to ride in a car with a goat. That's a whole story. Anyways, and we wanted to give it back to the village, but that wouldn't have been, you know, whatever. And a goat is a big thing, especially for some of the villages in the East Africa. This is literally about 2 months worth of wages. And so we were able to take it to the next village that we went to. He butchered it up, and we gave it to the church. But we get to eat a lot of interesting things. In Africa, the last time I was there, we had fried crickets. It was tasty. It was actually better than the goat. And then, so how many of you like rice? Come on, that's everybody in the house. Okay, now it's a whole different experience when they cook it in the river water that's brown. So the rice is white when it starts, but when you eat it, it's brown rice. And it's a little gritty, and that kind of stuff. So you get a lot of that. And, that's just in Africa. When you go into Asia and into Pakistan, I was just in Pakistan, they came out to serve us. And again, we get to eat a lot of, interesting things. Do y'all have snakes here? Okay, you do have snakes? Well, so they come out for the first course of the meal, and they bring this big python. And they cooked it whole, skinned, head, everything on. Then, and I'm trying to really whet your appetite for lunch today. Then they cut it, and then they serve it. And the python was okay. The next part, I had to really pray, and I mean plead the blood, and that stuff. They bring in a monkey, cooked whole. This is right out of Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm not kidding. They lift the skull cap off and serve the brain. I looked at the pastor who was with me, and he was like, "This is a treat." And I'm like, "It's something." I was like, "Lord, please let this not taste like anything." It was just something really spongy. That's the best way I could. Thankfully, it didn't have any taste to it. It was just spongy. But something pretty special. There's one other story I'll tell on food. So how many of you enjoy salad? Okay, I've had to learn to eat salad. As you can see, I prefer other things. But so I'm in this nation, and they're serving salad. But in the salad are these little, like, round balls. And so I'm eating, and I learned a trick. This is early on. I learned that when you're on the mission field, first of all, take small portions, and then second, eat very slow. Even if you don't like it, eat very slow. And so they're putting it on the plate. I eat really fast, and then they put it on. And these little balls, I'd put them in my mouth and chew them, and it was like a, you remember when you were a kid and you were silly and you put a little bouncy ball in your mouth? Remember this? It had that kind of feel to it, and then it would just pop. And that, so I had one of those in my salad, but then they filled it up, and there's like five or six of them. And then I made the mistake of asking, "What is this?" And they said, "Oh, this is really good. It's the eyeballs of an octopus." So that was interesting. All right, go ahead on to the next slide. Anybody want to go on missions with me? It's a lot of fun. All right. I'm going to just tell one story from here. So the little boy on the right, he is my hero, officially my hero. So I'm about to preach on a Sunday morning, and the walls of the church are just basically bricks, and then there's a tin roof, and there's usually a gap between the wall and the roof so air can come in. And so I'm about to preach, and I'm sitting on the side, and as I'm looking across, there comes this huge lizard down the side. And when I'm talking lizard, I'm talking about 5 feet long. It's bright red, bright blue, coming down the wall. I'm not thinking about anything spiritual. I'm thinking about the dinosaur that just came in the room here, and I'm thinking this is like Discovery Channel, you know? So I see it come down and everything, and then it stops right in front of the pulpit, and it just opens its jaws. And you can see these teeth like a python. They're curved. And yeah, and so the pastor goes, okay, you're about to preach. Are you ready? And I'm like, there's a dragon in front of the pulpit. You know, I'm not getting bit, you know. And so the little boy sees that I'm bothered, and he's about 3.5 years old, goes, walks up to the pulpit, picks up the big dragon lizard thing, whatever, carries it outside, and then he goes, and now you may preach. I totally lost my man card that day, but this kid is my hero, and I'm so excited. And I found out he was an orphan, and we were able to put him in one of the orphanages that we have and give him schooling, so we're excited about that. Go ahead on to the next one. All right, so another country that we go into, and this was actually my last trip, was in Pakistan. Pakistan, as you know, is a very unsafe country. It is very Muslim. About 98% of the population is Muslim, and they do not accept Christianity. When someone gets saved in Pakistan, they literally lose everything. They can lose their job, they can lose their family, and everything. So I'm preaching in Islamabad, and the only place that they would let us preach, that's the capital of Pakistan, the only place that they would let us preach is right next door to the downtown mosque. Come on, that's pretty scary right there. So they're doing their prayers and everything, and then in between their prayers, I was allowed to preach. But they told me that night, when you preach, you're not allowed to do an altar call. You're not allowed to speak about Jesus. You can pray for healing, and you can pray for comfort, but that's it. I said, okay. So I was going to preach on healing, you know, do that. So I start, and I'm ministering in the service, and as it's going on, the Lord says, okay, now I want you to do an altar call. And I said, but Lord, you know that there are police here, and they're all through the crowd, and we're not allowed to preach on salvation. And the Lord said, do it anyways. And I said, but Lord, if I do that, my wife is going to kill me because I said that I was going to come home and not go to jail. And the Lord said, well, do it anyway. So I kept on preaching on healing. So I'm preaching on healing and I'm going for it. And the Lord says, okay, I want you to preach on salvation and I want you to do the altar call. So I finally obeyed the Lord. And so I start preaching on salvation and said, you know, who would like to receive this Jesus that I've been talking about tonight and go into it? And I can see the pastor sitting there doing this and they're telling me, and I begin to see the police officers moving up a little bit in the crowd. And mind you, there's probably about 7,000-8,000 people in the crowd that have come gathering to listen. And so I said, all of you who would like to receive Jesus, lift your hands. And literally, it was probably a third of the crowd lifts their hand. And I said, all of you who would like to receive Jesus, now stand up. And as they stood up and I invited them forward, literally, there were so many people, the police could not come forward. So I'm praying quickly over them. The pastors grabbed me and run me out of the service. Well, little did I know, the man on the right, there was a police guard at the mosque next door. When he heard the message of salvation, he turned to his boss who was with him, and he said, I'm sorry, I have to respond to this. I resign and quit my job. He showed up at the church the next morning, told his testimony, and he said, no one has prayed for me yet. Can you please pray for me? I mean, that's real. That's a real conversion right there. And it's just so powerful. I mean, just, that's one of the moments where, you know, this is all worth it. You know what I'm talking about? On the left-hand side, there's a woman that I was praying for, and she brought a file with her, and they had diagnosed her body full of tumors. Just all over her body. And she said that the doctors had given me no hope and I don't know what to do. And I said, okay, well, we'll pray for you. And as I'm praying for her, she nothing's really happening. And I said, ma'am, do you believe in Jesus? She goes, well, I believe in Allah. I said, okay, well, have you heard of Jesus? And she said, only what you've said tonight. I said, do you believe that God can touch you? I don't know. And I said, okay. Well, I'm just going to ask that you have an experience with God. She says, okay. And so as I'm praying for her, the power of God touches her and she falls to the ground. And as she comes to, I said, what happened to you? She goes, I can't explain that. And I said, well, what do you think happened? She goes, I don't know. Something touched my body. I feel fire all over my body. I said, go to your doctor and have yourself checked again. And didn't see her. So a couple of days later, I hear a knock on my hotel door. Now, so you guys know, where I was staying was confidential for one. And the second thing, because it was during Ramadan, which is a very dangerous time, I was told not to open my door for anyone. I wasn't even allowed to go into the hotel lobby or anything by myself. So I hear a knock at the door, and it wasn't the time for the pastors to come get me. So I looked at the window, and the Holy Spirit says, open the door. So I open the door. This man says, are you the man who healed my wife? And I said, well, I prayed for many people. And he said, she was the one with the folder, and she had tumors all over her body. I said, yes, I did pray for her. And he said, we took her to the doctor this week, and there are no tumors in her whole body. And so he said, can you tell me what you preached about? So I said, I preached on blind Bartimaeus. And he said, I want you to re-preach it for me right now. And I said, well, sure, okay. And so then all of a sudden, cameras come into the room, and he starts filming, going to film it. And I said, well, I don't have an interpreter. And he said, well, I can interpret for you. And I said, do you believe in God? He said, no. I said, what do you believe in? Allah. I said, okay. And the Holy Spirit says, let him do it anyway. So I said, okay. So I preach the sermon for about 43, 44 minutes, pray for right into the camera. He's doing with me everything. Then at the end, he said, thank you, goodbye, and just left. At the end of my trip, he comes back, and he says, I need to speak with you. I said, sure. He said, you don't know this, but I own a television station that goes all over the Middle East and into Asia. And he said, I took that and I put it on my television station. For 12 hours a day, we put CNN on. And then for the other 12 hours, I run programs. We ran it 7 times. And it went into Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq. It was in North and South Korea. Come on. It went into parts of China. It was in Afghanistan, all over the region there. And he said, we ran it 6-7 times, and he said, we had 37 million people watch it. He said, I have never had anything have that kind of response. And he said, I don't know what to say about that. And I said, and the Holy Spirit just prompted me on the inside. I said, this has been a pretty interesting week for you. And he said, yes, it has. I said, your wife got healed. And then your business flourished. I said, isn't it amazing how many more customers you have? He said, yes. He said, I made more money this last week than I have in the last 4 months. And I said, now, remember you said you believe in Allah? And he said, yes. I said, but my God healed your wife. My God blessed your business. My God did this. What did Allah do for you the last 4 months? And he looked at me. He said, well, nothing. And I said, maybe you're serving the wrong God. And he just looked at me and he goes, we're not going to talk about this. I said, no, we're going to talk about this. I said, because you cannot deny the facts that are put in front of you. So we began to talk for about 20 minutes. And finally he broke down, got to lead him to the Lord in the hotel room. And then he said, would you put programs and do this again and pray for people and do this, and I'll put it on my television station for free? I said, absolutely. We'll figure it out. Isn't God good? Just divine appointments. Come on. I want to just share out of the Gospel of Mark really quick this morning. I know we have just a few moments. And then I want to pray for you who are here this morning. How many of you are here this morning and you have a need? Look at the hands all over the house. In just a moment, we're going to begin to pray for everybody. This morning, as we're telling testimonies, you know, the Bible says in the book of Revelations that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And you know, God wants to touch you. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. He wants to bring freedom to your life. And I want to read out of Mark chapter 10, verse 46, just the story of Bartimaeus. And I'm going to go really quick. I know you guys are familiar with the story. And it says this in verse 46. It says, they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho. Let me say that again. And they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho. Let me say that again. And they came to Jericho, and then Jesus was going out from Jericho. So literally, Jesus did not stay in Jericho. And outside of this, and I'm going to paraphrase this for time, but you can read this at home. It said that there was a man begging at the gate. His name was Bartimaeus. And he cried out for healing because he couldn't get to Jesus. The first time he cried out, he wasn't heard. The second time he cried out, everybody around him, what did they do? They tried to keep it quiet. The third time, he finally got the ear of Jesus, and Jesus said, bring him to me. And the people who had put him down before all of a sudden wanted to help. I want to just break this down in just a couple nuggets. One is Jericho represents a stronghold. Jericho represents a place that was broken and defeated and really never came back. If you read through history, literally it's been defeated and overcome over 10 times throughout Scripture. And so this is a city that is constantly conquered, broken. It's a place of a stronghold because the enemy always wins there. So Jesus, when he comes to it, he doesn't stay there. He begins to move on. But he came there for a purpose because there was a beggar sitting at the gate. In other words, Jesus will go to a lot of lengths just to meet one person. Y'all with me? And so here's Bartimaeus at the gate. He cries out, isn't heard. The second time he cries out, everything around him, in other words, his circumstances, the people around didn't believe, but he still cried out. Some of you are in that place right now where you've cried out, the people around you don't believe. Others of you are in a place where your circumstances are literally just choking you right now. But Bartimaeus kept crying out. And the third time he got the ear of Jesus. And Jesus said, bring him to me. Bartimaeus did something awesome. And this is a very fast story of it this morning. But he threw off his coat that said he was blind. That's what he had been given as a beggar from the community. Threw off those things that had defined him. And then he began to walk towards Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And that moment he received his sight. I don't need to preach to you guys because you're in church. You guys have heard the message many times. You guys have seen it, heard it, been there, bought the t-shirt, the whole thing. What I do know is this, is that God will do anything for you. First of all, and I want everybody to hear this really strong, it doesn't matter if you're in Africa, Pakistan, Europe, here in Bigfoot country. That's a whole other story, but the thing is everyone matters to God. Everyone matters. Whether you are the most saintly person or you have been the absolute worst person, you still matter to God. And God would do anything for you. And he did the first part on the cross. And this morning, no matter what you've been going through, you might have had a week that was as tough as anything. Or you might have had stuff at the job, or stuff with the family, or stuff with health, whatever it is, I want to pray for you this morning. I didn't just come here to just talk about my ministry. I came here to talk about what God can do for you. I believe in divine appointments. I don't know you. I don't know what's going on, but he does. There are many of you that just raised your hand asking and saying, I need a touch of God. I need a miracle in my life. Would you begin to raise your hand right now? All of those who did that. Now I want to ask something. Would you stand up, all of you who've just lifted your hands, please? Now I want everybody who's sitting this morning, I want you to look around. And then I want you to go next to someone who's standing up this morning and just stand with them. Would you do that with me? See, this is what I love about church, is we stand together. And I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to ask that God come and touch your body, touch your life, whatever's going on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your presence. Your word says in Exodus 15:26 that you are the God that healeth us. So right now in the name of Jesus, for those who need healing in their body right now, thank you, Holy Spirit. Pain in the stomach is leaving right now in the name of Jesus. Someone has pain in their shoulders. It's leaving right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for touching and healing bodies right now. Glaucoma is leaving right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for touching people in this room right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your healing power that is here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for it right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, for those who are going through situations in their work and they need a job, they need a breakthrough financially, God, I'm asking right now that you would supply above what they could ever ask or think for, God. I thank you for that job that they need, God. I thank you, Lord, for that opening, that open door to come for them, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you're making a way for them to provide for their family to where it's more than enough, not just to get by, God. I thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for all of those that are here this morning and they just feel beat down and they're just going through the motions because it's just been a long battle. God, I pray strength and encouragement over them right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching every person in this church. Thank you, Lord, for Landmark Church, that this church is here for a purpose in this community. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the hands of this church, that it would prosper, that it would be a blessing to the community. Lord, that this community would be forever changed by this congregation, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would fling wide the doors of favor for them in the political arena, in the government arena, in the business arena, in with women and with men, with children, with young adults, with seniors, God, in every area, Lord, I pray for opening doors of favor. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God glory this morning. You may be seated. Thank you so much for allowing my wife and I and my family to come and be with you here this morning and share testimonies. It truly is an honor to be with you. And thank you, Pastor, for welcoming us here. And again, happy birthday. My wife and I will be, we have a little table out in the foyer where we have some of the teaching material that we have. We'd love to sit and meet you there after service and get to know you guys more. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's give another hand to Lucas and his family. Amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss everyone. Before I do, though, if you'd like to invest some funds into the ministry, and like I like to say whenever we have a visiting missionary, if you'd like to send some of your money overseas to Pakistan, to East or West Africa, to Berlin, to Europe, you'd like to make an offering for these folks. Just see Stacy. She's prepared to receive your offering. If you make a check out, make it out to the church, and we'll see that they get one check to help them in their work. I don't know about you, but I feel like we have some quality representatives right here for Grace International and for the kingdom of God. Amen? And so what you're able to give will enable them to continue the work that they're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're not prepared to give this morning, just feel free to put it in any offering and we'll see that it gets to them. And I think Lucas and Tara represent our quality missionaries that we have in Grace International that we try to support all of them with what we can. And your giving does that. And so maybe the Lord will lay something not only on your heart, not only to give for them, but maybe every month put in a little extra for mission so that we can continue sending dollars to help touch the world and to reach those unreached billions. Amen? All right. Well, God bless you. You're dismissed. And have a great day. We'll see you next Sunday in the house of the Lord. And thanks again. And meet these folks out at the table if you have a few minutes. God bless you. Thank you very much.